appreciate these songs. Amen. Amen. The Lord is good. He's good to us all this morning, and we thank Him for His kindness to us. In the book of 2 Samuel, the 14th chapter, is where we'll be reading from this morning. And I'd like to preach this message at another time, but I just can't get past it. So today, this has been on our hearts this week, and I actually thought I'd preach this on Wednesday night, but it wasn't meant for Wednesday night. So we'll try to our best to give to you what the Lord has given unto me from the book of 2 Samuel, the 14th chapter. And if you'd like to stand for the reading of God's Word, let's go down and start reading at verse 28 through the conclusion of this chapter today. It says in verse 28, "So Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem and had not and saw not the king's face. Therefore Absalom sent for Joab to have sent him to the king, but he would not come to him. And when he sent again the second time, he would not come. Therefore he said unto his servant, 'See, Joab's field is near mine, and he hath barley there. Go and set it on fire.' And Absalom's servants set the field on fire. Then Joab arose and came to Absalom and unto his house and said unto him, 'Wherefore have thy servants set my field on fire?' And Absalom answered Joab, 'Behold, I sent unto thee, saying, Come hither, that I might send thee to the king, to say, Wherefore am I come from Geshur? It had been good for me to have been there still. Now, therefore, let me see the king's face, and if there be any iniquity in me, let him kill me.' So Joab came to the king and told him, and when he had called for Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king, and the king kissed Absalom." And stop reading there with that 33rd verse, and you can be seated in the house of the Lord. And I was trying to figure up today, I brought this message here at this church several years ago, somewhere between 15, 17 years ago, Brother Ron, that the Lord first laid this message upon our hearts. And I could not get past it. It's been up on my mind for some time. And I'd like to use today for a text, the same text I used then, is when God sets your field on fire. When God sets your field on fire. And this story is so deep. And it's so intriguing when you begin to read about this. How many of you know that you got problems in your family? Amen. I think we all raise our hands to that. But I have never read or heard about a family that had so many problems as David's family. When you think about David, the great king of all Israel, it was problem after problem after problem. And most of these problems that came to David's household was David's fault. Parents, we need to be careful what we do, that it doesn't lead to our children and to our grandchildren the results of what we've done. And I'll just give you a quick synopsis of all this story. It started when David had a man killed to take his wife. And I read this morning as I was studying again to go back and recapture this story. It was not just the woman's husband that got killed, but it was also a lot of the men of Israel that got killed. Because you see, David had Joab, his nephew, who was the captain of his army, to set him up to fail. And the Bible teaches us that when this happened, that there was, you can go back and read these previous chapters, and you can find how that Uriah was killed. In fact, it says in the 11th chapter in the 17th verse, "And there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also." So David caused several men to lose their lives just so that he could have this man's wife that was already with child of David's. And the Bible teaches us not only was their problems. But you remember that the man of God, Nathan, came to David and told him about a man who had one, just had that little sheep, and that somebody that had a great sheepfold took it, and what kind of recompense should there be? And David told him that that man should die. And Nathan said, "The one that I have spoken about is you. It's you." And to just give you some of the problems, the Bible says that this child that Bathsheba was carrying of David's, that the Lord told him that the child, when it was delivered, said that that child would not live. And sure enough, the child got sick. And David got down in sackcloth and ashes. Folks, once God has directed His vengeance at our lives, it's too late to get down in sackcloth and ashes. Now, I know there's been times when God would hear a prayer and He would change His mind, but most of the Word of God says that once God has spoken, you can look out. And the child died, and not only did that child die, but the Bible goes on to tell us that Amon, one of David's sons, raped his daughter Tamar. And because he raped Tamar, you remember that the Bible also teaches us that Absalom put together a plan several years later after that Amnon had raped his sister, that he had his brother killed. And because that he had his brother killed, the Bible says when Absalom, after this was heard by the king, David, that Absalom went down to his grandpa's country, down to Geshur, because Absalom was the son of David and the king of Geshur, his daughter. So he went back down to grandpa's house to find protection from his daddy. And now, after he was there for several years, and I don't want to get into all this, but you see the history of trouble running. And let me put this in before I move on. Nowhere have I read of a family that had more trouble than David's family, but yet nowhere have I read of a family that was as blessed as David's family was. Because you see, once we recognize what we have done wrong and we repent of our ways and go back to God, He said He would bless us. Right. Amen. And David would not entertain Absalom coming back to Jerusalem. Absalom was down at Geshur in his grandpa's country, and he was down there. And look at this. Not only did all those things happen, but while Absalom was down there, he had four children, three of which died. Folks, there's a great price to pay for sin. And the Bible says, Nathan told David, "Death shall reign at your house from this day forward." And sure enough, it did. He had one daughter that was born while he was down there, and he named her after his sister, Tamar. But all the time he was down at Geshur, he wanted to go back to Jerusalem, and his cousin, David's nephew, if I've got that right, the captain of the army, wanted to have Absalom come back to Jerusalem. So he had a woman to go before the king. And he says, "You go in," and they rehearse the story. "You go in and tell that you are a widow woman, and your son killed his brother, and he's in exile, and if he comes back, they'll kill him. And see if the king won't give you mercy." And sure enough, David told that woman, he said, "You have your son come back, and there shall be no harm come to him." And she reversed it on David and said, "If you'll do this for mine," if I can put it in Roger's word, "if you'll do this for my son, why won't you do it for your own son?" It's hard sometimes. Can I go back for just a minute? If David would have done what he was supposed to have done by the law, he would have had Amon put to death when he heard that he raped his sister. When he heard that Absalom killed Amon, he would have had Absalom put to death. But you see, because it's family, sometimes we bend the rules, do we not? Say amen on Sunday morning. When it's your kid or my kid, we're a whole lot more lenient than when it's a neighbor's kid. But you know what the Word of God says? He that sins must pay the price. This is not favorable preaching, but it's the Word of God. So Joab got David to consent to bring Absalom back from Geshur. And he came back to Jerusalem. And when he came back to Jerusalem, the Bible says that 2 full years that he was there, that David would not even speak to him. Can I put this in? And this goes right with our Sunday school lesson in just a few minutes. So we'll try to tie this together. That if you and I truly forgive somebody, we ought to truly forgive them. And this is hard on all of us. Some of us still carry a grudge. Amen? Help the pastor on a Sunday morning. There's things that we could go back and devil Steve would get our mind all stirred up about what somebody did to us years ago. But truly, if the Lord has forgiven them, we have forgiven them, we ought to forget about it and move on. Instead of holding a grudge for the rest of our lives. And I tell you, yeah, I have to work at it the same as you do. Odd, if I think about things in the past, the devil will get in your mind and you still don't want anything to do with them. And you know, sometimes, and I try to say this today, and I preach my message, if it happens once, we ought to forgive them and forget about it. But what if it happens more than once? The Bible says if it happens up to 7 times 7 in one day. But it's hard for us to do that. But David allowed his son to come back to Jerusalem. And yet for 2 years he wouldn't speak to him. If he was going to have this kind of mannerism when his son came back, he ought to have told him to just stay at Geshur at your grandpa's house. But instead he let him come back. And Absalom got tired of being in Jerusalem and his own daddy, king of Israel, would not even speak to him. Wouldn't have anything to do with him. So he told his cousin, if I've got that right, he said, I want you to come. He sent word for him to come. The first time he sent word, he did not come. Joab did not come to his house. And he sent word the second time. And the second time, Joab still did not come. Now, how could a man who was so worried about getting him back to Jerusalem go send this whole picture before the king and get him to come back? And then when he's in Jerusalem, he wouldn't even talk to him. He sent for him, but he wouldn't come. I want to come to Joab's defense. I believe that he knew that he wanted to go before the king yet a second time on his behalf. So when Joab wouldn't move, Absalom sent some of his servants and he said, his field borders my field. He said, this is what I want you to do. He said, I want you to go over there and set his field on fire. In other words, that will get his attention. And once you got his attention, he'll come and ask me, why did you set my field on fire? And you know what Absalom said unto him? He said, I sent for thee that I may send you before the king. And he said, wherefore have I come from Geshur? It would have been better for me to have still been there than to come here and see and not be treated the way that I've been treated since I've been here. And you can read the rest of the story. There's two problems with this story that Absalom had. First of all, the problem is when he was down in Geshur, he told God, he said, if you allow me to go return back to Jerusalem, I will worship you. Now, why did he have to return back to Jerusalem before he'd worship God? But see, he's trying to make a deal with God. That's the first problem. The second problem is that Absalom was a trickster. He came back to get what his father had. If you go and you read the 25th verse, it says that Absalom was perfect from the top or from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head. He was a perfect man. no blemish whatsoever in Him. None. He was a perfect. And the people loved Absalom. But Absalom was a lot like Jacob. He was cunning. Amen. And he had his plan devised all along, I believe in my heart, that he wanted to get back to Jerusalem. He wanted to get back there so that he could try to overtake his father's kingdom. But in order to get Joab's attention, he set his field on fire. This morning, on a Sunday morning in July, I asked a question or make the statement that God has sent the call out to your people and my people. He sent it out to us time after time after time. The question remains, when is God going to set our fields on fire to get our attention? And I thought this was very interesting. And I want to share it with you today as well. That there are times when there is fire in your own house and you don't even know about it. I thought about this as Villa was singing that last song. Several years ago when I was just a young man, still in my teenage years, or even before my teenage years, my grandfather and grandmother's house caught on fire. And Billy, the house caught on fire during the night. They was not even aware that the house was on fire, but a passerby saw the smoke. Help me preach for a few minutes this morning. And this is my thought today. There are others that can see the smoke where God has set your fields on fire and you not even realize that they're burning. Isn't that something this morning? That blessed my heart when God gave me that thought. That there are people that is in your lives and mine that I look at them and I see the smoke coming from their fields. But they're walking around and not even paying attention or realizing that God has set their field on fire. Because He sent not just once, not just twice. But how many of you have God sent calls to you in times past, time and time again, and you would ignore it? And I also want you to be open with God this morning as well. That I'll be the first one to precede that. In saying this, there has been times that I look back and I see where God has set my field on fire to get my attention. Because I ignored the first call. I ignored the second call. And time went on, I may have even ignored a third or fourth or fifth call. But how many of us today and how many of our loved ones can you look? Can you see this through a spiritual eye today? Have you looked across the fields and seen somebody else's field on fire? And Brother Bill, they walk around like everything is fine in their life, not realizing that God has sent the warning. And once the field has been set on fire, Joab could not recover that barley field. Once it was burned up, it was gone. Look at the loss that he had just because he would ignore the call from Absalom. Look at the loss that you and I have had. Has anybody lost anything because you ignored the call from God and God set your field on fire? And some of you are like, I don't want to admit to that today. But it's true that every one of us, I believe I could say without any reservations, every one of us has lost something because we ignored the call from God and God had to set our field on fire to get our attention. Some people might say, well, what? Can you give us another picture of what it means when God sets your field on fire? He'll take your excuses away from you. One of the things that I've tried over the years to never do is use one of the kids as a reason not to go to church. Because you know where my fear lied? Was that God would remove that excuse. I've also tried to live a life that just because everybody else is doing it doesn't mean that you and I should be doing it. Because God will get their attention and set their field on fire as well. I have seen it in times past, and people say, well, you ought not be judgmental, but let me finish my statement. I have seen in times past when God would set the fields on fire of Christians and non-Christians alike just to get their attention. And let me speak from experience. I don't want to see God set your fields on fire. I don't want to see harm come to you and to yours because you will not answer the call that God has put upon your life. And people say, well, what kind of call is there? There's a call that we all ought to live for God each and every day. There's a call that we ought to try to help others along life's way that are in need, that are down and out. There's a call that comes to us that we ought to be a light to a lost and dying world. And when we don't do what God has called us to do, and we ignore the call, time after time after time, God will get us our attention one way or another. I can remember things that's happened. And people say, well, you're just saying that God did it. I can remember events that's happened, and I knew right then and there when it happened, it was God setting my field on fire to get my attention. And people say, you can't prove it. In my spirit, I believe it with all my heart. And people say, how do you know it? Because I knew that I ignored the call. And when we ignore God, you might be able to ignore a brother or sister. You might be able to ignore even me, you know, especially today. In this modern age which we live in, you get a phone call and you know who it is before you even answer it. How many of you remember you had to answer it before you could find out who it was? You know, we can ignore a lot of things. But when God sends a call, you might ignore it once, you might ignore it twice or three times, but God will ultimately get your attention and you will wish that you had answered the first time. But now it's too late. I can't redo yesterday. I can't relive yesterday. I can't take back those things that I did yesterday that I wish today that I had not done. And people say that's sounds like just a lot of wishing. It's true. How many of you in yesterday's, once your field was set on fire, you wished that you could have gone back and changed the situation that led up to? And people say, did God do all that to David just because of him and his disobedience? God said, because of what you did, your household will pay for it for generations to come. And how many of you know that God's word is true? And I worry about some of these fields that I see smoke coming from. Have you ever seen these? And I've never done it, but I've seen some of these Boy Scouts, and maybe some of these maybe Boy Scouts could attest to this, or have been Boy Scouts, that how they take two sticks and they start rubbing them together, and how that in time it will start a fire, but before the fire ever starts, you see the smoke ascending first. Can I, as a pastor and as a friend, share with you this morning, and you know this as well. How many of you can look over some of the fields on the horizon? You know whose fields they are, and you can see smoke coming up. Does anybody get my analogy this morning? I worry about where that smoke is at, because where there's smoke, there's fire. And our people are living as if nothing is happening, nothing is wrong. Is it going to take a total loss before they realize it's God sending the call to their house that I've sent for you before? I've called on you. And people, the Bible teaches us, how many of you remember that song? Our Lord keeps a record of every moment we're living down here. The Bible teaches us that the books were opened in heaven in the book of Revelation. And the Bible teaches us that God keeps an account of every word that we have spoken and every idle word. That God knows everything about you and I. Even those things that we may have forgotten about. God has not forgotten about them. And He has called to your house and to mine. And we've ignored it and ignored it and ignored it. But as soon as we see smoke and fire on the horizon, you know what our first cry is? Oh, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. But then it's too late. Because once the fire's been started, can you see them out there? They didn't have a fire department they could call then like we do. History teaches most of the time what they did is they go out there with the water that they could get hold of and go out there with some rugs and try to stomp it out. But no matter how hard they tried, most of the time it was a total loss. In my closing this morning, I do not want to see your life or your loved ones' lives end up in a total loss once God sets their fields on fire. And people say, will God really do that? God will get your attention. Either through you, and see, He knew where to hit David. He said, this woman that you and the Hittite's wife. I love how God wrote the Word of God, His Word. Go back and read it. He didn't say you and your wife, Bathsheba. He says, I want you to know that this child that you and the Hittite's wife has had. God doesn't sugarcoat it. He tells it exactly the way it is. You and this Hittite's wife has had a child, and that child is going to die because of your sin. And not only that, but your great desire to build a house will never come to fruition because there is now blood on your hands. Blood on your hands. Let me close with this morning. How many of you value your fields? Your fields is those things that's important to you. How many of you value your fields? There is no woman, and I'm being stern this morning, Larry Jones, there is no woman worth having God set my fields on fire for. Amen, men? And there is no man worth having God set your fields on fire. Amen, women? You heard the women a whole lot louder than you heard the men. And I'll go beyond that. There is nothing that the devil has to offer that's worth having God set my fields on fire for. This morning it may have been a strange message. It's not a shouting message because we realize, every one of us realizes, we can't throw a stone one at David. Because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all had our field set on fire. We can't even throw a stone at Absalom. The conniver that he was and is in the Word of God. You see, after this, Absalom did all of these things just to get even with his father. Because you see, Absalom couldn't stand that little boy that later Bathsheba and David had by the name of Solomon. See, all of these stories, people say, what's the purpose of all these stories? It's to teach us what we ought to stay away from. What we ought to have fences up around and what we ought to be looking out for. Because the devil is lurking. And he's trying his best. You know, let me close today. But isn't it amazing how the devil can get our people's attention a whole lot quicker than what God can? It's because he offers them everything that the eye, the heart, and the mind lust for. That's what he's offering them. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the love of the lust of the spirit, the mind, it's there, and they see that, and the devil gets their attention, and he's got them running. God sends a call, and people won't even acknowledge that God is speaking to them. But God will get their attention, Sister Dottie. In time, God will get their attention. When there's smoke in their fields, they'll look up and say, "Oh Lord." First thing I thought every time that this has happened to me, I thought, if only I'd done it different. And some of you know what I'm talking about this morning. I'm not asking you to tell me which field God set on fire in your life. I just know that God will not always just sit back and not do anything and allow people to go and go and go. There's a line that you, every one of us has come to in our Christian life when God says, that's it. You're either going to live for me or you're going to suffer the consequences. You'll suffer the consequences as a child of God. And for those that are lost, there's a line that they come to that God says, you'll either be saved or I'll turn you over to a hardness of heart and let you just go on your own. And whatever danger, whatever trouble that comes by your way, you're on your own from this day forward. This morning, let me close with this. Robin Sharon, get us a song. This is what come to my mind and my heart. Is that I see some of my people and some of yours. And you know what I see in their fields? I see the smoke ascending. Again, Jim, some of them won't even acknowledge. They don't even know that there's fire that's there. Some of our people don't even realize that they're messing with fire. And they're about to get burnt. But you know, when Absalom set Joab's field on fire, Joab was not the only one that suffered the consequences for that. Because that was food for his family. How many of us know today that everything that we do or don't do, every action has a reaction, and it not only affects us, but it affects the rest of our household. It affects not just mom and dad, but it affects the children, and it also affects their grandchildren. It affects all of us. Everything we do. See, moms and dads, if David had lived by the word of God like he was supposed to, all of this trouble would have never come into his life. But he saw that woman taking a bath, and he desired her. There ought to be nothing that we allow to come between us and God. This is harsh preaching on a Sunday morning, but it's true. Nothing should come between us and God. In fact, it was that time of the year David's supposed to have been out to battle. It was that time of the year when the kings went to battle. He was supposed to have been out there fighting, but instead he stayed at the house because something caught his eye. See, sin starts as a small seed. And then it grows into this monster that you cannot contain. You cannot control. And folks, when God sets your fields on fire, when He sets your loved ones' fields on fire, it's not just going to cost them, but it's going to cost you. And let me share with this, and I said I'm going to close. You guys know my oldest son's been divorced. Got three grandkids, and it's not just costing him, it's costing me.
Yes, it is.
And I'm not talking just financially. I'm talking it costs us. And people say, well, why do you get caught up in it? Because they are flesh of our flesh and bones of our bones. When God set His field on fire and He lost it all, and some of you today, some of your kids, some of your family is in the same situation. They're about to lose it all. And folks, it's going to come back to your house as well as to their house. Sin doesn't care who it hurts. It doesn't care who it brings down. Doesn't matter how many fields burn up. Sin doesn't care. Once it starts, if I can close this morning with this last statement, it's like a wildfire that they're experiencing out west. Just one little bitty spark. And next thing you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of acres are burned up. How many of our loved ones' fields are going to be consumed before they realize that they should have called upon God and got it right in the beginning? While we stand, they sing a verse of a song of invitation. Maybe you just want to come and pray this morning because you see smoke. It might not even be in your field. It might be in your neighbor's field. It might be in one of your loved ones' field that you see the smoke. Or maybe you've realized that there is fire in your fields. Why don't you make that step today? Because once the fire has started, folks, it's too late. The raging fire is there. And we can pray that it's only a temporal fire and it's not an everlasting fire that gets into their fields, because there'll be no hope for them in that day. When God sets your fields on fire. Yes. Some of you are like me. You can see the smoke. It's not that God has given us any better vision than anybody else. It's not that we're prophesying. But we see the smoke in the distance. We don't even care what caused it. Our concern is to get them out before they're consumed. One more verse, Rob, if you would, in this song. How about you today?
And my soul and the close fellowship we share.
The fire.
Make joyful rivers flow.
You may not see it, but if you can smell the smoke and see it in the distance, you know that there's a fire. Yes.
Lord, I need to feel your power and joy in my soul.
No one likes to have their fields burn up. None of us likes to suffer loss.
I didn't say that about
my son to throw stones, by no means. I've done things that caused my fields to get set on fire, and it cost my parents. Every one of us, I think that I can say this safely, every one of us has done things that caused our fields to get set on fire. And we look back and we see how much it cost those around us. Nobody gets out free. There's a high price to pay for sin that our people never see. And while I said that about my son, I think that not just him, but I can say it about my father's son, my mother's son. And I think I could probably say it safely about you and yours, that we've all had our field set on fire. Look at this. And I didn't bring it out in the message. But when Absalom told his men, he said, Joab's field borders my field. When Absalom came back from Geshur, everything he had when he left was there when he got back. His fields were still his fields. His house was still his house. Everything was there. But when Absalom set his fields on fire, the risk was that that fire would spread and get his. And those other three neighbors that bordered. See, we never know how far sin is going to touch once that fire is ignited. I hope you join with me today in praying for those fields where we see smoke. You know, Jackie, sometimes I'll see in a spiritual realm, I'm closing, but in a spiritual realm, I'll see smoke. I don't even know whose field it is, but my heart just sinks, wondering whose life has been destroyed, whose life is on the verge of the devil just tearing apart. And people, as I said in the message, oftentimes we see the smoke before we ever see the fire, but we know it's raging somewhere. Yes. I pray that you got something from this message this morning. Amen. It's a message of warning that we all need to heed. And we can pray that God will just save the fire one more day. Lord, send them another call. Absalom sent two calls and then he set the field on fire. Lord, would you send a third and fourth call? And if you've already sent dozen on top of dozen calls, Lord, would you yet send one more that they might get right before you set their fields on fire? God bless you. I pray for those where we see smoke. And church, we're not being judgmental when we say that. But how many of you remember what Ernie said here the other Sunday? And he told me about that in years past. And you guys have heard it in years past. But Christians are a lot like an old car. You remember that? They usually start missing before they quit. You remember that? And you know what? When people start missing, as a pastor, you know what I start seeing? I see the smoke. And I'm worried, Brother Ron, what is going on? Because you know, sometimes if you catch the fire quickly, you can get it put out. But if it's set there and it's burnt, or church, if it's been burning and we thought we'd put it out, only to find out that it's still smoldering. And it's liable to ignite again at any time. I hope you can see these pictures this morning. We need to get those fields taken care of. God bless you. Remember our service tonight at 6 o'clock. Maybe God will give us one of those hallelujah shouting messages for tonight. We don't like to hear that there's trouble coming. But the Bible tells us you better give out the warning. Because you remember Jeremiah, I'm going to get out of your way. You remember Jeremiah when all the other prophets in the land was saying, everything is good. Jeremiah was saying, God is saying, we're living in troublesome times. There's trouble coming. And they would not listen to Jeremiah because he wasn't preaching what the other prophets preached. But God told him, preach on. Because you know those false prophets will always tell you everything's good. And you know it ain't. God bless you. Have a good afternoon. Get you a meal. Get you a nap if you need it. And come back tonight expecting great things to happen in the house of the Lord. God bless you. All the branch, all right.